الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن صدق الله المولانا العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من رضي بعمل قوم كان شريكا فيهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. With the time that we are in, this December period, festive period, and unfortunately it influences us. For us, December is nothing. We are in Jamadul Ula, coming to an end. So that we should be thinking in those lines. But unfortunately, living in this environment, we are also overtaken. For us also, now is the festive season. Now is the time, just take it easy, it's a holiday season now. Now is the time to enjoy now. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. And at this time, the woman also, the way they dress, as if all the heat has come on them. And they drop all their clothing also. So this is a time when even more we must be particular about our gazes. And like every day, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, that when you leave your home, then make this firm intention that you will not cause any inconvenience to any person. If you don't make that intention, you will cause inconvenience to somebody. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali uses the same principle and says, if you go out in the morning and you don't make the firm intention that I'm not going to look at other women, at what I shouldn't be looking at, if you don't make that intention, you will look. And for us, it's very difficult to even comprehend it. We are so used to looking, and when we look also as though we did nothing. We don't make tawbah about it. We don't even feel we did anything wrong. Unless really we really thought bad about all evil and that, then perhaps it touches us that I did wrong. But just looking, we feel there's nothing wrong. And in fact, many of our good friends also, if you go like to a teller, to a cashier, lady, we'll even joke with them, flirt around with them, and it doesn't mean anything to us. We have to go to supermarkets, airports, all these places, and there are so many women around, and it doesn't harm us in any way. As though we are immune to it. We don't feel a thing. Whereas a person, if a mu'min, if he has got the spark of iman, that a little bit of wrong touches him, and he sort of jumps. That what happened here? Where did my eyes fall here? Where? What did I think about here? But for us, it's just nothing. We don't think about it. We don't make tawbah istighfar verbally also. Making two rakats of salatu tawbah is out of the question. Let me make one day atikaf, wash out all this dirt which has come. It doesn't even touch us all that. As one alim said very beautifully, that iman which does not stop us from haram. How is that iman going to save us from Jahannam? Yeah, if our iman can't stop us, in fact, our iman bi istama ya'murukum bihi imanukum in kuntum mu'minin. Very bad is that iman of yours that it commands you to do evil. What kind of iman have you got? If you have got iman, if you are mu'minin, that iman is a power, is a great force that will stop you from looking also. And forget looking. Today, good people are so addicted to porn. On the one side, they going for umrah also. What person comes and surprises his wife that I booked a ticket for umrah for you. But he is so involved in porn all the time. And today in the Haramain Sharifain also, they also at all the women there, everywhere, How does a person protect himself? So this is a thing at all times. And especially at this time of the year, more we should be particular. The best is we try and avoid going out and to all these places. Workplace we have to go, places that we have to go. But first, whenever we have to go, especially to these places, to a supermarket, banks, etc., walking or driving on the road, airports, etc., then before we go, where we make sure we got our passport, we got our ID cards, we got our tickets, etc. More than that, make sure that we have made 2 rakats namaz and ask Allah to protect us. That we have determined in our hearts that we are not going to look. And that we keep our gazes guarded. And this is such an important thing that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, normally in the whole Quran Sharif, commandments that have been given are addressed to the males, with the male, according to grammar, using the male address. And in that I included the females also. To aqimu salah. All of you establish salah. It's actually addressed to the men, according to grammar. But of course, it is for all, even the females. So all these things, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Alaykum is also for the males. That rosas have been made for us, for you. But in that, the address is for the females also. So that is the normal procedure of the Quran. But this was such an important, basic, root thing. That yeah, Allah addressed the man completely separate. And Allah addressed the woman completely separate. Kullil mu'mineen yaghuddu min absarihim. Say to the mu'mineen, to those who are the believers. So who will take heed? Those who have got iman. And if we are just Muslimin, we have just submitted, it won't really affect us. Those who have got iman in them, this it will affect them. So Allah says, so let us see how much we take heed of it. Who will take heed? The mu'mineen will take heed. If we are in that category, we will take heed of it. Yaghuddu min absarihim. That cast your gazes low. And min absarihim, min tab'idiyah, some of your gazes. Allah didn't say all the time look down. Allah has been so kind that He has permitted us. There are beautiful mountains, beautiful. You see in Kaaba Sharif, you see in Rauza Mubarak. Then look by all means. You see your parents. What great rewards just looking at your parents. Look at the Quran Sharif. Sometimes without reading, just look at the Quran with love and passion. Look at the Quran Sharif. That is what great rewards for there. So some of your gazes. That means you know that was also in an Islamic society where sometimes some woman will come out and you will, your eyes might fall. But unfortunately in this kufr society which we are living and this nudity which is all around us, we have to be very, very particular. So Allah says, some of your gazes. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, made it so easy. He said, Allah Ta'ala made it that when you see where there are women, and you have to close your guard your gazes. يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lower your gazes. That is, look down. Allah Ta'ala didn't even say that close your eyes, but look down. And in that also Allah made it so easy. You just, real Hazrat was a master in this field also, as all the fields. Hazrat said that when you have to lower your gazes, Allah Ta'ala didn't put a button by your knee that you'll have to go down, press the button, then your eyelid will drop down. He didn't put it by your ankle or your toes that you'll have to go right down and you press that button. Just at a flick of a thought, less than a moment, and you just automatically just lower your eyelids. That's even better. But the actual command is just your gazes, lower them. You are not even commanded to close your eyes. Just lower your gazes. And that is when at the time of the fitna when it's there. At that time lower your gazes. And so Allah Ta'ala has made it very, very easy that we should lower our gazes. Make the niyat and be conscious of it. And this only those will take heed of it who are mu'mineen. And not who are mu'mineen only in the majlis. No, when we go out from here, tomorrow when we are in the workplace, when our secretary is right next to us, when we are going to the bank, when we are going to the supermarket, to the malls, etc., the mu'mineen, they will be reminded about it. They will think of it there. And so for them Allah says, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ and وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. It's got a direct contact with safeguarding your chastity. Your private parts, your eyes have got a direct connection. If you save your eyes, your private parts will be saved. And if you don't save your eyes, then very soon you will fall and you will reach the end of the guna also. So, and Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali also used to explain, this is the great mercy and kindness of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala made this guna haram on us. In other words, He cut the cause of it from the root. Because when you look, then now your thoughts are get affected. And then you want to talk, and then you want to meet. And then you want to plan other things and all other things which will land then perhaps of your marriage breaking up. From your children, like what the parents living, they are like orphans. And we also must not think that this won't happen to me. I know my limits. Allah knows us better than what we know ourselves. What Allah has commanded for us is only good for us. Hazrat Damat Barakat Rahmatullah Ali also gave this beautiful example that when the electricity department are doing some maintenance work in your areas, then they send you and they inform you that from this time to this time there will be no electricity. But they put a precautionary clause, but don't treat the wires as live all the time. In between, if we're going to test or something, we might put it on. So Hazrat also says that even like that particular refers to your own daughter, your females who are not, you know, parda from them, your daughter-in-law, but don't touch them also. You touch them with a clear intention, that is make salam, etc., or something like that, or you just touch them on the face, something in love, kindness, pure, clean love, but you don't know which minute the current can come. And you just think at that moment of some evil. Or if in her some evil thought comes, consequences are disastrous. Totally disastrous, the consequences. So we have to be very careful. So this is the basic thing, but it's very, very important. Then Allah addressed the woman separately. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ. All the Arabic grammar words also are all for the females here, clearly, that they also must guard their gazes. We can see this is so important that at one time Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was with two of his wives, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a blind Sahabi, came there. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam immediately told them, make parda. They said that, but he's blind, he can't see her. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, are you blind? Can't you see him? So how important that even a blind, and who, the Sahaba, and where in the company of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, and the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so pure, who did Allah choose for his Nabi? الطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات. Pure are for the pure. Allah's Nabi is 100% pure. Allah chose for him also only pure. In thought, in action, in every way they were pure. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala, a great, great Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala. We can't think of, you can't dream, you can't imagine of any evil. But Allah's Rasul said, make parda. So how important it is. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam at one time asked, what is the best thing for a woman? What is her best amal, her action? What is the best thing for a woman? Sahaba didn't know. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu went home and asked Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhu. She said the best thing for a woman is that she doesn't look at any man and no man looks at her. So from both sides it is so important. So woman also, if they got their niqab, nobody will be able to see where they're looking. But they also have to be very careful with their eyes, where their eyes fall. And it is within one's control. Otherwise Allah should not have given the command. If it was beyond our control and we cannot help but looking, then Allah shouldn't tell us don't look. We can guard our gazes. Therefore Allah Ta'ala gave the command, guard your gazes. So when Hazrat Ali came back and told Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha says, the best thing for a woman is that she doesn't see any man, no man sees her. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was so happy, and at this occasion he said, Fatima bid'atu minni. Fatima is part of me. Hey, what a great accolade, what a great position. And for who, of course, for Hazrat Fatima. Sayyidatu Nisa Ahlil Jannah. Hazrat Fatima, what a great woman. When she is passing away, she makes wasiyat, pass me away at night. And bury me at night. And also in such a way that nobody sees me. And from there, which is a practice still today, alhamdulillah, hopefully in the whole world, that when women are buried, they put a tent or something, so that a man's eyes don't fall. But that also today is just a customary thing. Everyone is going in the tent and also looking. The mahrams only must go, those who will be burying. Others must not be there at all. And we should look away from there. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha did not even want people to know whether she was tall or short. She was big built or small built. Even that amount of parda. So this is what Islam requires. And how sad it is that today ulama are saying there are other views also. That parda is not so strict. And these people are too conservative. And they are too extreme. This is what the Quran and how many other ayahs. So much so, Quran Sharif says, women wear jewelry also and they are permitted to wear. One form of jewelry also is they wear jewelry on their feet also. And that jewelry makes a little sound, that is that jewelry also. With regard to that, the Quran Sharif says, when they walk, they must not walk in such a way that that jewelry makes its sound. So that jewelry sound, which is not the woman, the jewelry is separate, but that sound also don't let man hear it. So her own voice, how much is that parda? And today ulama debate whether the voice of woman is parda or is not parda. On occasions of necessity, emergency, is a different ruling. But the normal ruling, that woman's voice, and today women are on the radio stations, women are on panels, on TV, etc., talking freely to men, openly. And what does the Islam of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam? This is another Islam. There is a very funny Islam, a complete different Islam. The Islam of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam demands this proper, and wherever, in whichever society, which also the Quran and Hadith teach us, that whichever society has got modesty, sharam, haya, shame, bashfulness, that society is based on solid foundation. You can expect the children, boys, girls, to become great people in that society. But where sharam, haya is not there, where in the woman it's not there, worse. In the man it's not there, then you can find only like animals being born in that society. And only animals and hooligans and worse type of people will come from there. So Islam demands this, that we must have that proper society. On one occasion, a person married a woman working in the farm area. So she said that one condition, that I'll maintain my parda properly. He said, no problem. They got married. She maintained her parda properly. In that period, a child was born. Then after that, he used to work on the farm. So he says, I take my lunch with me from the home, and when time of eating it is gone cold, it's not like a nice warm dish, how the warm wife prepares if you are at home. So if you come with it, you wear your burqa, etc., and you bring it to me lunchtime, nice, hot. You pack the basket with all the hot, hot food, and you come and feed me. So he insisted, she agreed. In that period, a child was born, the second child. After that, seeing all the other women, the environment, getting influenced by that, she used to still take it, but now in modesty, but not covering her face now, wearing the orni and keeping it around. Her face not covered, like a but open she used to go. In that period, the third child got born. Then one day she told her, now let me show you the effect of this, the parda which we dropped our guard. And we went from the actual parda, what is supposed to be, that a woman must just be at home. Now I emerged and I went out, but I wore my burqa, everything. And then the third, where now that became lax on that also. So she said that we'll be in the room, and then you pretend that you are hitting me, we are fighting, and you are very angry with me, and I will beg for mercy and pity and death. And our children, the three boys, will be outside. Let us see their reaction. So the first son was born when she was in proper parda. The effect on her, on him, was, he said, "Mother, have sabar, have patience. He's your husband after all. And you just make sabar." He treated it with great modesty, and he had full control of the situation. The second one spoke ill against his father. "What are you doing with my mother? You're hitting her." And the third one said, "I'll kill you." And he was very vulgar. So then she opened the door. She said, "Nothing is happening here. I just wanted to show you people and your father what the effect of parda is. When we maintain proper parda, that boy, what was his condition? When we dropped our guard, what was the condition?" So it is, this parda is not a small thing, a very big thing. So during these days, at all times, and everywhere, whether it's at home also, whether it is when there are social gatherings, walimas or anything, we must not drop our guard and maintain the laws of Sharia properly. Then, another very important thing, during this period here, now it's the Christmas period, we shouldn't be even knowing about it. It's a New Year period, but unfortunately, good Muslim people also have some Christmas affair, whether it is buying a turkey and having a Christmas turkey, or whether it is anything else, just getting together, having a breakfast, it's Christmas Day. And we're going to have a picnic and we'll have the breakfast. Lot of things like this in the good Muslims. Who are practicing Muslims, we do all this. So this is all, tashabbuh bil kuffar is one of the worst gunas also. And it appears that where Allah's azab comes in this world is because of two main gunas. Allah knows best. One is tashabbuh bil kuffar, imitating the ways of the kuffar. And today we are so in that, whether it's in our education, the education of the kuffar, of our children, we follow the kuffar way. Who really gives that preference to Islamic education? Today school is very important. Today college, university is very important. For that, madrasa can be sacrificed also. Children can be taken out of madrasa also. But that school, extra studies that they have to do for maths, for language, all in madrasa time, madrasa can be cancelled. So all that is kuffar way. And our holidays, all kuffar ways. Our homes are built in kuffar ways. Everything we do is on the kuffar tariqah. So this tashabbuh bil kuffar, this is a thing, by then Allah's azab comes in this world. And Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah reward him, he has explained so beautifully. He said, this ummah has been sent to lead the there is a leading ummah, not a following ummah. We are supposed to lead. Kuntum khayra ummatin, ukhrijat linnas. We are to lead the people. Not that we followed, and if we had followed them in good things, but we who are the leaders of good, we forgot our position and we became the followers of evil. The policeman who is supposed to direct traffic, the traffic inspector, that people must go this way, that way, he gives up his job and he goes and not sell sweets and ice creams on there to the people who are traveling, but he goes and take drugs now. what chaos will there be? And it's peak traffic hour. And the robots are not working, no light. And he went to guide the traffic. He went and not only just sleep away or go and have a cup of tea, he's going and he's taking drugs. He's taking some alcoholics, etc. What will be the result? The ummah that was supposed to guide the ummah, the whole world, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, for all of people. And now we, instead of guiding them, we're not only following, we are going ahead of them in their evil. And we are doing more worse evil. So the chaos is clear. Jahannam in this dunya, we have brought it with our own hands. So it is very, very important. And the other, ikhtilat bil kuffar, mixing with the kuffar. Where necessary, Shariat has given permission, and the details are there all in Shariat. But this free mixing with the kuffar at schools, our children mixing with them, colleges, workplace, holidays we go. How many people are proud that we're going for holidays? We are going with some of our friends. And who friends? Non-Muslim friends. Now you're going to make holidays with them. And today the worst thing, that even if boys and girls, all, and with non-Muslims, and going for holidays and that. What can we expect? So we must be very careful at these times. All this type of function. In the hadith, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who is perhaps one of the greatest sahabi after the Khulafa'i Rashidin, the Ashra Mubashara, how great they are. So, he says he was invited for a walima. And he went, and when he came close to the house, he heard some sound that was not correctly, perhaps some musical sound. They were playing the duf, the drum, etc., whatever, something wrong. So he turned away and he went back again. So who was with him, they said, you are going for a walima. And walima, in fact, we are told not to refuse a walima da'wat. You get a walima da'wat, you must accept it. And now you're turning away and you're going away. He says that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, man radiya bi amali qawmin, that if people who are happy with the actions of some people, kana sharikan fihim, they are part and parcel of that also. So if I go there, my mere presence that I'm sitting there, though I'm not supporting it or anything, and rida, according to Shariat, to be pleased with a thing, is not just by your words you say, I'm happy what you're doing. But you are just sitting there, you are present there, that also means you are happy with it. You are not objecting to it, you are just sitting there, that you are also a part and parcel of it. And this is such a serious crime from the Quran Sharif. The Bani Israel, when they were prohibited from fishing on a Saturday, they made their plans and that we won't fish on a Saturday, all the stupid plans they made and trying to fool Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, they were divided in various groups. One group from them stopped them and told them, it's wrong what you are doing. You are breaking Allah's laws. But it did not stop them from socializing with them. And this was with their close family people. That were their own family people. They did not stop socializing. Eating, drinking, dawahs, whatever, carrying on. Meeting one another, socializing. And in that was the one group, with their close family people, they cut off all ties. And actually a virtual wall they had built. And we have got nothing to do with you people. You are breaking the laws of Allah, so we have nothing to do with you. That was the one group. The other group, they told them, you are doing wrong. They clearly pointed it out. But they kept on socializing. When Allah's azab came, and those who were doing wrong, they were changed into pigs and monkeys, apes. Then these who stopped them, but kept on socializing with them, they were also included in that punishment. So we have to be very careful. Mullah Ali Qari, Muhaddith-e-Azim, he writes on this that, man radiya bi amali qawmin, whoever is happy with the amal, with the action of any people, then kana sharikan fihim, he is part and parcel of them. So if any people are doing good, anywhere in the world, he explains, and you are happy with the good they are doing, any good work that is happening, we get the same sawab as what those people. Those people who fought in the battle of Badr, who went for the battle of Uhud, all the other great, great work. Before that also, before Islam also, a person who's happy with those who stood for the truth. And they fought for the truth and gave their lives for the truth. Where are we? That time is so far. But we are part. Our sawab will be also part of that. And anyone who is happy with wrong that is happening. The World Cup is taking place in Qatar. We are, yeah, I can't go, but I'm happy about it. Even if I'm not watching on the phone, I'm, mashallah, I say mashallah, for World Cup is taking. And that we're proving it from Quran also. Mo'idukum, in the Yawmuzdina. All that. Then we are not there, but we're getting the same guna also. Even if we're just watching it on the phone, even if we are just worried about the results, who won, who lost, we are part of it. We get the same guna. Though we are not there virtually and actually, but we get the same guna. So we have to, so anywhere, all the wrong that is taking place, we must stay away from it. And see, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was going. And who was invited? Somebody he was, he's like friends, family, somebody he liked. That's why they invited him. That's why he was going. But when they were doing wrong, he turned away completely. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that man kathara sawad qawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever increases the numbers of a people, he is part of those people. So even if we are not actually in their gathering, we are not partaking in their gathering all over, but we're just increasing their numbers, we are also counted amongst them. And man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever makes his form, imitates a people, is also regarded from those people. So these are very important things. During this period, let us be more on our guard. Who we can save and tell, we must save. And it is not only the duty of the ulama, our duty in our families to not to keep quiet, but to promote the right thing. Now, our keeping quiet is a crime on its own also. That we don't say what is it, and we allow the family to go, etc., and do the wrong things, and we don't speak a word about it. When Allah sent his azab on that certain community, and Jibreel alayhi salam came with the azab, he went back, and Allah knows everything. He said, Ya Allah, there is one buzurg who did not disobey you to the extent of the wink of an eye. He's such a great buzurg, so much ibadat. Allah said, start my azab with him. Because when my laws were being broken, he did not even have a frown on his head. He didn't worry. So our duty, where we getting involved, our duty is completely opposite to stop, to put the whole ummah in the right tide, in the right direction. Where are we following in the wrong direction? And where can we keep quiet? Allah give us all tawfiq and understanding.